You're listening to Valley Edition. I'm Kathleen Schock. Over a four-year period, police officers in Bakersfield broke 45 bones in 31 people. And in no case did the officers involved in those encounters violate departmental policy. That's the finding of an investigation from the California Reporting Project, a public radio-led collaboration looking into police misconduct. What keeps a community safe has been a big discussion this week in Bakersfield, as the city council has voted to boost annual spending on the police department to $133 million, making it 42% of the city's overall budget. Joining me now to talk about all of this, Molly Peterson, who's the manager of the California Reporting Project and who edited this story. Molly, thank you so much for being with us.
You're welcome. I'm happy to be here.
So what does it mean that police officers broke 45 bones in 31 people?
Well, it depends on who you ask. When we talk to the police department itself, they say that that number may even potentially be low and that sometimes breaking bones is necessary. When we talk to people in the community and people who actually had been on the receiving end of some of those baton strikes and you know, dog bites, people described long-term injuries. And then there's the question of what this means for the community in the long term. What are the long-term impacts to breaking people's bones? A survey done by a community collaborative that's looking into potential reforms in Bakersfield pointed out that one in five people are afraid to call 911. So I think there's some real questions of community trust as well.
And whose bones got broken? I mean, what kind of people are we talking about?
Well, some of them were bad guys accused of really doing bad things. One of the people we spoke with is in prison on a 20-year sentence. He had a bone broken in a confrontation at the Vagabond Inn in Bakersfield after he threatened an ex-girlfriend. But others of them were not necessarily suspected of doing anything more significant than a vehicle code infraction when they were confronted. So one man whose case we read about but did not speak to was biking the day after Thanksgiving in 2017 without a bike light. Officers noticed this and chased him. He left his bike and he ran to a nearby yard where one officer pulled him down off a fence and hit his arm with a baton hard enough to cause an open fracture where the bone's sticking out of the skin. Eventually, he was charged not with the bike light violation, but with resisting arrest and battering a police officer. Those charges were dismissed.
Were any of the officers reprimanded or held accountable in any way?
No, they weren't. And Sergeant Robert Pear, who's a spokesman for the Bakersfield Police Department, says that's a sign that the department is training officers to use force correctly.
The fact that no one has been disciplined for it during that, whatever the date range for that is not unusual. And I think it's representative that after review, that officers were doing it within the scope of their law and in a manner prescribed by the law.
Sergeant Pear points out that while the department looks into every use of force, that these results aren't surprising to him, essentially. That we pointed out 31 cases where sergeants looked at this use of force and found it reasonable or within policy every time.
So is he right? I mean, what policies does the Bakersfield Police Department have when it comes to using force and investigating the use of force?
Like a lot of police departments in California, the Bakersfield Police Department's manual is based on a private product called Lexapol, which exists to help police departments stay up to date with the latest developments in California law and in the definition of things like serious injury and deadly force. The police department's manual says that you have to use force that's reasonable and that you have to intervene if not you see another officer using force that's not reasonable. But reasonable is given a lot of leeway and there's a lot of factors to decide what's going on. After the fact, after a use of force, an officer reports the incident to a supervisor, usually a sergeant, who comes out and investigates, possibly even talks to the person who was involved in the encounter. And that sergeant writes a report that's stored in a system called Blue Team. That report is supposed to be reviewed by a lieutenant and sometimes even a captain. There's also a use of force working group in the Bakersfield Police Department that looks at data and tries to look at trends within how force is used. And there are individual audits by the Quality Assurance Unit. Basically, they look at an individual event and see whether it was handled properly.
How does Bakersfield compare to other police departments in these practices?
Well, I talked to Seth Stoughton, who is a law professor who testified for the prosecution at Derek Chauvin's trial in the killing of George Floyd. He also used to be a cop in Florida. And I had him look at one of these Blue Team reports written by a sergeant, and he said that the report was woefully inadequate. He said there wasn't enough detail, not enough detail for someone to explain what was okay or acceptable about that use of force, and there was no description of what to improve for next time.
An officer's use of force, even a relatively low-level use of force, is really a significant government intrusion onto individual liberty and autonomy. It's a significant incident.
Basically, Stoughton says that reports after the fact that look into whether or not force was justified, even if it's a relatively small injury, and in fact, in this case, we're talking about incidents where there was a result of a serious injury. Stoughton says that it's important for there to be detail about how and why it was okay to use this much force and what could be done next time to minimize the impact of incidents exactly like this.
Well, and there's some context here. I mean, since 2017, there's been an open investigation by the California Department of Justice into the Bakersfield Police Department. What's the status of the police department now?
Right. The then Attorney General Kamala Harris opened these investigations, one into the Kern County Sheriff's Office and the other into the Bakersfield Police Department. That Kern County Sheriff's Office investigation was settled in December. And as a result of that, sometime soon, the Kern County Sheriff's will start wearing body cameras. There's going to be some different documentation about how they interact with the community. That investigation, the state-level Department of Justice investigation, remains open. And when I asked the Department of Justice about it, they said that they, out of respect for the integrity of the investigation, didn't want to comment on it until it was settled.
So this week, the City Council voted to boost funding for policing in Bakersfield. You attended that meeting virtually. What happened?
The meeting was really, really raucous. The City Council had decided to give 15 minutes of public debate for the pro side, for the budget proposal as constituted, 15 minutes for people who disagreed with it, despite the fact that there had been a letter sent to the City Council the week before from the ACLU of Southern California saying, hey, there's a lot of interest in the budget. The budget's a matter of huge public interest. Would you consider expanding the public debate that you would permit? The City Council, and in particular the mayor of Bakersfield, said COVID-19 protocols allow them to make reasonable limits on how they receive public comment and that they were following Robert's rules of order. That still didn't sit well with people, many of whom came up to speak about the police department and about the budget generally and about how they saw the city services need to be reconstituted. Here's Fahima Salahuddin Floyd.
What you are witnessing is anger that has been multiplied over time. When people come and they speak and they give you respect and they speak graciously and they speak perfect King's English, you disregard them. When people come up here and they cuss and they yell and they have righteous anger, which is their right as human beings whose civil liberties are infringed upon, you still don't listen.
In the end, the City Council voted unanimously to increase the budget for the city, including the budget for the police department specifically by $13 million to $133 million. That's going to enable the police department to hire 28 more sworn officers.
So policing will now make up 42% of the city's budget, and that this funding is coming from a ballot measure that was passed a few years ago. Do people in Bakersfield agree about what they want from public safety?
You know, Measure N was passed narrowly when it was passed in 2018 by something like 97 votes. And it was meant to increase efforts towards public safety and essential services. It does not seem like there's agreement about what public safety means. Some people said that they wanted to feel safe from the police specifically. Others thanked the police for their response to different incidents. And members of the various chambers of commerce in Bakersfield said they're concerned about crime and they have confidence in the current plans and the city's idea for how to improve public safety by growing the police department. Here's Kaylin Peterson from the Chamber of Commerce.
We support the addition of more police officers in the city of Bakersfield. That was a Measure N campaign promise to the voters and to the community, the business community, who supported Measure N, and they expect the city to follow through on that promise.
Like other places in the Valley, Bakersfield saw protest after George Floyd's death last summer. How has that changed the conversation in Bakersfield about policing and public safety?
Well, at the time last summer, the city council in Bakersfield had appointed a Bakersfield Police Department Community Collaborative, basically a team led by four people to discuss, investigate, and understand various issues with policing, like community trust and community policing, like use of force issues. This community collaborative worked for several months through the early part of the spring and made detailed recommendations, including about the use of force. They brought these recommendations back to the city council, who accepted these recommendations without comment back in May and have not used them in budget planning. So while there's greater awareness since George Floyd's death, it seems like there's a lot of unresolved issues that have existed before that time that go back maybe even as far as 2004, when the Federal Department of Justice, you know, targeted the Bakersfield Police Department with an investigation. And some of those recommendations still aren't implemented.
So what's next for you? Do you plan on doing more reporting?
There definitely seem to be a lot of issues that we've come across that remain of interest to people in Bakersfield and in Kern County. And we're interested in hearing from people in Kern County about what they think we should be talking about in terms of policing. I know that at least one of our cases, for example, has some resonance with mental health issues and how the Bakersfield Police Department has to perform welfare checks and respond to essentially non-criminal activity. So we're looking into all kinds of issues, and we're going to be working with local producers and reporters to produce more reporting through the summer.
Well, before we wrap up, we should mention that this report that we've been discussing can be found on our website, kvpr.org. Molly Peterson with the California Reporting Project, thank you so much for being with us.
You're welcome.